This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey.
And the conclusion's no.
Congresswoman, let me ask you, because Minority Leader Chuck Schumer this morning said that he supported the proposal from Mark Warner that Democrats refuse to vote on an FBI director unless a special prosecutor or special counsel or whatever is named to investigate this matter. I think it remains an open question of what tools Democrats have. You're in the House where you have fewer tools than they do in the Senate. But beyond appealing to the better angels of the nature of your Republican colleagues, what can you do to try to get some sort of assurance of independence in the investigation?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that we can do. One is to keep up the pressure that we've been putting on this administration to be forthcoming and be willing to have an independent investigation. They should be the ones that want an independent investigation more than anybody so that they can clear the air and have room to advance an agenda. And I think the idea of holding up the Senate, holding the Congress hostage in order to get this done isn't exactly what our constituents sent us to Washington to do. They didn't send us here for more gridlock. My hope is that we do pass legislation that sets up an independent commission, and it really does depend on members of Congress to put their politics aside and recognize that this is a real threat to this country. It's a national security threat. We deserve to know the facts of how a hostile government attacked our democracy. It's a direct attack on democracy. And the other thing is that in the House, we're up for re-election in about 18 months, and I don't know about them, but I want to run against a fellow American on the issues that matter to my constituents. I don't want to be running against the Russians in their misinformation campaign.
I just want to put up
a good point. Stephanie Murphy, I think she's the first Vietnamese to be elected in the House. She is from Florida, and she's exactly right, Scott. I don't think that she or any other politician wants to still be talking about the Russian boogeyman out there. Let's just figure this thing out. I mean, we've got a lot of exercise and a lot of innuendo. It is stuff that's putting a drag on this president, and when it puts a drag on the president, it's a drag on us in terms of any kind of positive legislation that has to do with health care and tax reform. All that becomes, subordinated to this Russian boogeyman thing that here we are down the road. And, I think Donald Trump may be focusing on a little bit of the wrong thing. As they say, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. I mean, he is president of the United States, after all. Go be president of the United States. This noise is going to continue. You don't have to go around and slay dragons at every corner. If they want to add to the proposition and add your presidency, then let them in. If they want to take away, hey, marginalize them, move on. You've got plenty of options here. There are so many people that are anti-Trumpers. They will be that way until the day they die. And the only thing that will cause them to regret that is success. As I often say, the best form of revenge is success. And this is what potentially lies ahead because, President Trump, regardless of all, the mistakes or whatever you want to call them that have taken place in his initial 125 days of office here, people are still rooting for him. They still want him to be successful. It may not be everybody, but you're not going to get everybody rooting for you because they have bifurcated interests. They have interests that are really not about, maintaining this democracy and getting us back on track. And as you said, make America great again. Well, to that end, that's what you need to look at. The things that do that, go after. The things that take away, just let it go. I mean, it's meaningless. It's just the nature of the Beltway. It's the nature of politics. People like to snivel and complain and opinionate. Because that's what we do in our humanness, right? But there is a higher calling, and I pray and hope that this president and those behind him will stay focused on that higher calling. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, again, if it's going to happen, it's going to be bottom up, not top down. Top down is what got us into this mess. And again, I remind you, we need to stay focused on the higher calling and those things that are right and just and that will actually affect the change that we're looking for. And forget all these boogeymen that are being thrown out there. It's all a waste of time. And next thing you know, you start putting on your tinfoil hats and you're like Don Quixote chasing windmills, okay? And the windmill chaser and combatter and one that's getting people off their donkeys right now is the one and only Doug Giles, founder, editor of ClashDaily.com, author of the wild new books, The Effeminization of the American Male, and also a coloring book for college crybabies. Doug, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Bill, what's shaking, man?
Hey, wild week, huh? The president started out with, a halfway decent week. He had some momentum. We got the repeal of Obamacare, talking about tax reform. Things are looking up. And doggone if he doesn't shoot himself in the foot over this Comey deal.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who really cares. I saw this poll and I was sitting there. I mean, I care because I think, Comey is a duplicitous act. Mm-hmm. And, what he did, for Hillary, everybody's like, well, he did this against Hillary. It's like, well, he also, he also said she's mooey guilty and then said, well, she didn't have intentions to do anything wrong.
So, mooey guilty, but not so mooey. That's what.
Yeah, but the general populace, man, it seems like, you know, they don't give a flibberty gibbet. And it's only the inside baseball wonks like you and I that really care. And I really didn't care that Trump canned him. I think he should have dumped him on January 20th. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad he's gone.
And well, I understand part of that, Doug, that he didn't do it on January 20th. Maybe he wanted to wait until he got his AG in place, and of course, let's remember the Democrats have done everything they could to slow walk and retard the process of this president's cabinet and the people that he needs to be in supportive positions, right?
Yeah, and I really loved how Trump threatened Comey, Thursday night late or something. You better hope there's no tapes of our conversations. Before you start leaking to the press. This is anything but boring. And I'd like to applaud Donald Trump for giving us one heck of a rodeo ride. Mm-hmm. And I just love watching the left just come absolutely unglued on everything. Today, you know, the fresh chum that they're putting out is sources say, Bill, that there's a major shakeup happening in the White House, but it probably won't occur for several weeks. What kind of stupid story is that? How desperate.
Exactly.
You know, who's your source, number one? And then this major shakeup that's really not going to take effect for months.
Well, in Reince Priebus, you know, he cycles back. And, of course, Saturday Night Live would be upset if Sean Spicer is really gone because what's Melissa McCarthy going to do now?
Yeah.
You know, but Sean's not there. I mean, you know.
If Huckabee's daughter, what's her name, Sarah?
Yes.
If she takes that podium, oh my gosh, man, the champion of women's rights, the one who is the party that denotes itself as the lover of everything feminine. Watch how they slaughter her. Watch how they make fun of her, the way she speaks, the way she looks, everything about her. Watch her destroy that woman. They tried to destroy Ivanka and Melania. Remember, this is the liberals that supposedly love all women, unless you're
exactly.
conservative, unless you're articulate, and unless you're somebody who goes toe-to-toe with their nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, the other thing here that we need to look at was Kimberly Guilfoyle. They were suggesting they want legs up in that podium, I guess. Legs and brain.
Well, she's got those in spades, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I've got to talk about this, man. I hope you don't mind me. I don't think it's a derail of the conversation, especially
your
show.
But, yeah, me and you, you know, where we go, that's what we do. We talk and we cover all these insane things. Are you going to go to California? Is that what you're going to talk about?
No, man. I've got to give major props to El Presidente. I'm talking one Donald J. Trump. What he did in Liberty in that graduation speech,
right.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
It was like, what nation am I in? Am I in a time warp? Did I get sent back into the past to where mm-hmm. Christianity wasn't bashed, mm-hmm. that God wasn't ridiculed, that we didn't hear Muhammad praised and Christians blamed for all the atrocities, you know, ad nauseum, ad infinitum, since time immemorial? You know, it was amazing to hear Trump say we worship God over government, to tell Christians to be bold in their faith instead of the crap that Barack and Michelle jackhammered us with for 8 years, denigrating Christians every chance they could, even at prayer breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go figure, huh? Even at prayer breakfast. And the thing is, it all played, it all contributed to the shutting of the mouths of people of morality. And then in the Gallup poll last year, the big complaint out of the secular America is, hey, where are the Christians? Where are the people of morality here? We've lost our way. We need to hear from them. And I go, well, you told them to shut up and to get out of the public square. Now you're looking for some sort of moral compass. Go figure.
Well, it's interesting now that Trump signed the executive order, you know, completely eradicating that 501c3 injunction for Christians to shut their mm-hmm. mouth. By the way,
the Johnson Amendment. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the leftists and then the liberal churches, speaking in particular, Jeremiah Wright, Father mm-hmm. Flager, all of them have been radical bastions of leftism. I mean, they're basically the liberal madrasas. They've never stopped their political stumping and trying to eradicate conservatism or libertarianism from the United States. Saul Alinsky made certain that churches, in particular Catholic churches, were radicalized for social, quote-unquote, justice. Finally, the evangelicals, you know, they're not worried about having to pay taxes on their hot dogs at Costco or in their acquisition of property anymore. And hopefully they're going to pony up and get some cojones and start talking about these huge issues that are affecting, you know, their congregations. For the life of me, I know some big churches, Bill, that rent facilities. I'm talking huge, well-known places that in order for them to lease these particular arenas, they have to sign a waiver that they will never bring up anything political or anything against any particular group in order for them to have, afforded to them these particular venues.
As if the Johnson Amendment wasn't enough, now you have this. Are you talking about temporary venues, or are you talking about static places of worship for them?
No, temporary big venues, because these churches are growing like mad. But to me, you know, here's the pastors like, oh, we're not going to bring up politics, you know, because it might affect our tithes and offerings, or it might offend somebody. Listen, our nation is in the middle of a culture war. And little tinker pot, you better queue up and say something.
Well, I got to tell you, Doug, that's my complaint, is that you've got people who are looking for answers, and they go to the church, and the church is set on their programs. You know, they're very nice, fuzzy and warm and feely type messages. And then they wonder why people come. They try it out and they go, it's irrelevant. Why did I come here? I might as well stay home and, you know, watch golf or soccer. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Doug Giles is with us. We got more from Doug right after the break. Stay with us. Just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walk. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
DC, there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Doug Giles, founder, editor of FlashDaily.com, is with us. Doug, I just got back to the East Coast from California, was able to escape. And it is absolute madness there. I cannot believe, you know, just how messed up that state is. I mean, it's no wonder that, you know, people want to break that state up into 6 sections. They want 6 substates now, or just 6 separate states in California. Governor Moonbeam there got so excited, saw the, you know, they're, what, over $100 billion in the red here right now. And so his answer is, hey, let's raise gas price. We're going to raise the gas tax. So, you know, and everybody in California just kind of goes along with it, and the smart ones head for the exit doors. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty state, you know, and there's lots to offer, but I don't know if I'd be that fascinated and enthralled with it that I would want to be on the blunt end of the pool cue of that kind of slavery.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that's interesting, speaking of California, is the state assembly passed a bill last Monday that would repeal a policy that made being a member of the Communist Party a fireable offense. And, Bill, that legislation was supported along party lines with most Republicans saying, no, thank you, while the Democrats mainly favored the policy. At least, Bill, at least they're being honest about it.
Yeah, they're starting to come out of the shadows. Well, you know, you have Trevor Loudon, who has exposed at the federal level, I think there's like a near 100 card-carrying Democratic socialists, which in a sense are communists, and they're in our government, and I don't know how they pledge to honor our Constitution and defend us against anybody, foreign or domestic, any enemy, but yet they're card-carrying Democratic socialists. So how do they live with that hypocrisy?
Yeah, and I mean, look at who they the left spits out there in California. You got Nancy Nutter and the squirrel turd Pelosi, crazy mad Maxine Waters, Senator Dianne has only worked in the government Feinstein, and then Kamala Harris. I don't know if you saw the good senator. She said, you know, we need to legislate by feelings and not that old fussy Constitution, Bill.
Yes, I know. It's just so problematic. Yes, go ahead.
Here's what I think so rich about it. You know, again, finally, it's out in the open, and I hope the people are paying attention. You know, you can be a dyed-in-the-wool communist and be a part of of their government positions. Hello, folks. But we all knew it. You know, it's like Barry Manilow coming out, 73 years old. Hey, I'm a homosexual. And we're like, yeah, we heard your songs.
Like
we understood
surprise.
That when you were singing, especially when you did Copacabana and you wore that that mariachi flamingo shirt and those tight white silk pants. That was our first clue.
Right, exactly. Well, also, you know, relevant to all this is, I don't know if you saw this, Doug, Chelsea Manning, the transgender U.S. soldier convicted of espionage, will remain on active duty, be eligible for health care benefits after her release from prison. This is according to the Army. Manning, of course, known previously as Bradley, underwent hormone treatment behind bars, will remain a private in the Army, have access to commissaries, continue to receive health care benefits. But I guess the compromise here is that she isn't paid. And of course, all this will come to an end after the review of her appellate review. And if they go along with the, you know, with the court, with the Army court there, then, you know, she's out the door and dishonorably discharged.
Yeah, and we had to pay for that sex change, right?
That's right. We had to pay for it. And this is someone who released more than 700,000 classified military and State Department documents to WikiLeaks. I mean, I think she just barely won over John Podesta, I think, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you get upset about that, Bill, you're just a homophobe. And she was going through, or he, or it, was going through a difficult time. You know, Lady Gaga didn't bring enough comfort, so she did something untoward towards our national security. And the way that we need to repay it is with, you know, maybe a slap on the wrist and a sex change. Hey, at least Bruce Jenner paid for his own sex change. I will give him that much. But what a confusing day it must have been in the Jenner household on Mother's Day yesterday. What do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing double duty. He's dad and mom.
He's double dipping. I don't know. I don't know if that's a problem.
Going back to California and the communists, do you think that this new decisive – well, it's not really new, but this 30-year-old, this 30, maybe three decade, maybe even more long drift and bent towards communism, do you think it's going to change forever the Beach Boys' famous tune that David Lee Roth also covered, I Wish They All Could Be California Girls? Because I've seen communist women and they're not too sexy.
Well, it'll just bring that song back with a vengeance. You know, that's the deal.
Oh, but bro, you know what? You just gave me a great idea. I think I'm going to do a parody of California Girls.
Yes, sir. California Comrades, huh? You can,
yeah.
There's a lick there waiting to be written out. Well, the other thing.
What about California Strudel Huns? I don't know if you can find enough words that rhyme with Huns, but
buns, tons.
Yeah, tons, buns. Yeah. Yes. There it is, man.
That's
why they pay you and I the big money.
Well, you know, hey, what can I tell you? Hey,
speaking of about socialism.
Oh, okay, all right.
Is socialism, this is for your listeners, is it the unluckiest movement in history, or does it simply spawn monsters? Because it looks like Venezuela is starving, and they're blaming socialism.
Between there, you know, every demonstration of socialism, I mean, show me a success record. But you got these college kids who listen to these professors, and they come out and with their Che Guevara shirts, and it's like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. You're just wasting so much energy. It's like, why don't we move that energy in a positive direction here to really do something that you want to do? I mean, even the 60s and 70s radicals finally figured some of that out anyway.
We had a waiter a couple of years ago wait on us in Miami, and typical like millennial doofus had a man bun, which I also call a douche knot, and he comes up and he's wearing a Che Guevara T-shirt. Mm-hmm. I've got two friends there, Cuban friends, that their parents were killed, both sets. Their lands were pillaged and then taken from them, and bro, I'm telling you, it was one of the most epic dress downs that was ever given from somebody who's been on the raw end of radical socialist communist dictators to a little snowflake millennial who had no idea, you know, what he was cheerleading with his hip little tie-dyed Che Guevara T-shirt. You know, it blows me away that these people cannot read history, but it goes to show you, Bill, it's the systemic aspect of liberals taking control of the public school system, not teaching history thoroughly, not showing how great America is as an experiment in self-governance, and taking the minds of our kids and just brainwashing them with this kind of propaganda crap. Mm-hmm. If you love your kid, man, watch who schools him, keep him away from a lot of television. And don't take him to see too many Hollywood movies, because they're out to turn him in, his poor little gray matter, that spongy thing between his ears, into a liberal mush.
Well, fortunately, even some Hollywood liberals are seeing what's happening. I mean, I don't know. Did you see that deal with Richard Dreyfuss and what he's doing with the DreyfussInitiative.org?
Bro, his interview with Tucker, where he cheerleads the Constitution,
yes,
frankly, like I haven't seen a lot of conservatives do, is much watched television. We put it on Clash Daily, and the thing went viral.
Exactly.
And again, there is some actual people that's part of the left that don't have the mental disorder, that have seen the destruction of our founding documents, the disparagement of the Bill of Rights and our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, by the likes of Obama and his droogies for the last 8 years. And they're saying, no, we don't want to live in this kind of world. We might not be hard right guys, like I am, but they're reasonable. And that was a brilliant screed by Dreyfuss. I think it almost eclipsed his role as Hooper in Jaws.
Oh, okay. Well, it was Mr. Holland's opus, part due, and welcome, no doubt. Doug Giles, founder and editor of ClashDaily.com. Thank you, Doug.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. Always good to have you along with us. Thank you. And for more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Well, according to the Spring 2017 Bank of America Business Advantage Small Business Owner Report, it is a semi-annual study exploring the concerns, aspirations, and perspectives of 1,000 small business owners across the country. Small business owners' confidence in the economy has surged in the last 6 months, although entrepreneurs are still cautious about turning plans into action. And here to tell us more about it, back with us, I mean, this is getting to be a regular thing, and I'm kind of liking this, Sharon Miller. Sharon Miller is the head of small business of Bank of America. Welcome back.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's talk about what is going on. I mean, entrepreneurs seem to be pretty bullish on the trajectory of our potential economy, the way things are starting to look on the horizon, and excited about some of the deregulations that have been taking place. So things are looking up for small businesses these days, isn't it?
They are, and in fact, you know, we survey our clients every 6 months, and this survey cycle, we saw a 21% jump in the confidence in the economy from small business owners over just, you know, 6 months ago. So we definitely saw an increase in optimism, an uptick in what's happening within the environment, and I think the last time you and I talked, Bill, was 6 months ago. We had just released the fall survey, and back then, we were still waiting to see what would happen with the election. So anytime we have an election cycle, there is uncertainty in the results. Once that's done, we're able to move forward.
Well, Sharon, I like the fact that Bank of America has made this kind of commitment to keep this information for small business owners, you know, and for the rest of the country to understand what's going on. And the fact that you're doing this twice a year really you know, reinforces B of A's commitment to small business, right?
We are committed. I mean, every large business started out as a small business, and so we want to make sure that we are here serving our local communities and the small business owners. And in fact, you know, we have 29 million small businesses across the United States. So it is a big, big area of our country. It is the backbone of our U.S. economy, and very, very important to what we do and how we deliver in our local communities. And we're there for them. So we talked about the optimism that we saw in the survey. However, when you dig into the data points, we also saw there was a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude around expansion of hiring, of revenue growth expectations. Although at Bank of America, we saw our strongest first quarter we've ever seen since the financial crisis in our lending area for small business. So our loan demand is strong. People are coming to us for that advice and guidance and how to either expand, acquire, transition, whatever it is that they're wanting to do for their business, and we want to be their partner.
Well, that's great. You know, what gets me excited about this, Sharon, is that, you know, at the very heart of this is people being productive. I think this is what makes us happy. America wants to work again. And, you know, and this is what is going on in this, you know, current environment. There's lots of hope that more jobs are coming. And you're talking with the dreamers and the job creators, which has to be a lot of, you know, a lot of fun for Bank of America.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, to me, this is such an exciting, you know, area of our business, area of our company, because this is the backbone of our U.S. economy. Small business owners are the heart and soul of every community. And, you know, they're able to impact so many lives, so many people, employ people, capture downstream revenue. I mean, when you go into a restaurant or to a retailer, I mean, the other thing is you may have a retailer in a local community that now has access to be able to put their presence online and have a national footprint, whereas before you didn't have that availability before we had online and digital. So there are so many, not only the dream and the vision, but you can make it local and you can expand it virtually because of the technology available today that wasn't available 5-10 years ago.
Exactly. It can make the small players look big pretty quick, and it seems that they're doing this as they get more and more adept with this technology that is very evident in business today. Sharon, how did you find that small business owners felt about their revenue growth and hiring for the coming year?
The revenue and the hiring was about flat from 6 months ago, so there wasn't a huge increase in people telling us that they were going to hire more, although, you know, say about flat. I will tell you, though, that when it comes to what were their concerns, the number one concern of our small business owners was all around health care and health care costs. So that was the same 6 months ago, and it's the same today. The other piece that is a big concern is around taxes. So, you know, we hear it in the news, we hear it across, you know, the country that tax reform, that health care reform, it's on the table, but we still don't know what the outcome is going to be. So there are, you know, there's still uncertainty out there. And so, you know, small business owners, I mean, it's on the mind of small business owners, big business. It's on the mind of all Americans.
Now, are the small business owners feeling responsible or feeling some sense of responsibility to provide health care for their employees?
You know, I think so. I mean, you know, when we asked about health care, and we always do in every one of our survey, the biggest concern is around cost. And so 64% are concerned about the impact of health care costs on their business. And so to be relevant and to compete for talent, which is
exactly
what, you know, businesses do every single day. I mean, people are our biggest asset. And so, you know, in many cases, people want benefits. And so that is a concern for small business owners, and it is something that attracts talent in many cases, and it's something that is on the minds of many people across the country.
Mm-hmm. For these small business owners, you know, we touched on a couple of the stressors that they're experiencing, but what primarily is keeping them awake at night?
Well, I think, you know, one is, you know, how's my business going to, you know, is it going to keep going? I certainly don't want my business to fail. I mean, anything that you put your heart, your soul, all of your energy into, which is what small business owners do day in, day out, it is just so inspiring to work with small business owners across the country and hear their stories of how they started, how they've grown, what their passion is, and how they come to work every day. But I think that as they think about the future, it's around, you know, how do I become more virtual and not so much a physical location, but, you know, sort of back to the conversation we had, Bill, around, you know, being able to have large scale when you have a local shop because now you have online capabilities. The other thing is, how do I, with my operations of my company, automate it? Because the more you can automate, the more cost potentially you can take out. And then paperless. How do I make sure that I'm taking paper? I mean, that's not just environmentally sound, but it's also, you know, it's a cost. Every time you, you know, print something, you put it on paper, you send it in the mail. How can we be more efficient in a paperless society? I mean, we think about that every day at the bank. How can we, you know, when you print a statement versus email, there's a, you know, it's good for the environment, it's good for our clients, and people really don't want paper so much anymore. So how do we help adapt what's good for business, good for clients, and good for the environment?
Exactly. Well, Sharon Miller, where can people go for more information?
You can go to bankofamerica.com/smallbusiness. The report is there, and then also just other great information for small business owners that are either just starting out or have very, very established businesses.
Well, great resources here. Sharon Miller, head of small business at Bank of America. Sharon, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing and keeping us up to date with your new survey.
Thanks so much, Bill, for having me.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $2 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 45 blue pills or 45 yellow pills for $99 and add 5 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call us at 800-590-4987 and get your 50 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-590-4987. That's 800-590-4987. 800-590-4987.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. And we got a real special guest for you to talk about the renowned Ted Kennedy, Lion of the Senate, when Ted Kennedy rallied the Democrats in a GOP Congress. Interesting, 22 years ago, it was the shock heard on the Beltway, and that was when it was just an incredible turnover of power from the Democrats to the Republicans. Not much different than what we're experiencing today, David Nixon.
That's absolutely right, Bill. Our book is, as you know, The Line of the Senate, deals with how talks about how Senator Kennedy responded to that Gingrich landslide, which left the Republican, the Democrats, kind of dazed and bewildered. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened then is very instructive for what's happening now, because you see basically the same ideological partisan polarization, and you also see really in many ways the Trump current Republican agenda is very similar to the one that was Newt Gingrich was pushing in 1995, which was defeated at that time.
Right. Well, David Nixon, along with co-author Nick Littlefield, give us an inside-the-room look at two of the most important years of Senator Kennedy's time in office. As we mentioned, beginning with the stunning election that dramatically reshaped the political landscape, and as two top domestic policy advisors, you're able to afford us that special insight. And, you know, David, I really appreciate you coming on to help us address, you know, this particular issue, because it seems unlike 22 years ago when you had the leadership of Senator Kennedy rallying the Democrats and kind of holding them together. It looks like there's a little bit of a void in the Democratic Party to that end currently. What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, those of us who work for Senator Kennedy think he really is irreplaceable. There's nobody like him. Mm-hmm. But my impression, I must say, is that the Democrats are holding together pretty well, and they're getting out a coordinated message and standing up to what they view really is a very negative agenda from President Trump and the Republicans. I think the thing that may be missing a little bit is that Senator Kennedy was able to do two things. He was able to rally the Democrats to resist the things that they thought were really bad for America and contrary to what the Democratic Party stood for. But at the same time, he was able to reach across the aisle and manage to find common ground to pass some very important progressive legislation. As we discuss in the book, he was able, to, even in that very hostile environment, to get an increase in the minimum wage passed, to get the past the Kasimov-Kennedy insurance reform legislation, and probably most significant, the Child Health Insurance Program, which is now known as CHIP, and insures 8 million people every year. And I think that ability is missing now, and it really needs to be cultivated, you know, if our country's to progress.
Well, and, you know, the call of the electorate to both sides, Republican, Democrat, everybody else in between, is let's get to work. I mean, we understand, you know, there's dynamic tension between the ideals of the two parties primarily, but where can we find middle ground where Senator Kennedy was able to find some middle ground and still be able to, you know, make things happen on behalf of we the people?
Well, I think, again, it's a matter of if you can find common ground on a goal, on something you want to accomplish, and you're willing to be flexible on the means and see the other guy's point of view, then you can get things done. What Senator Kennedy did, for example, on the child health bill was he looked, as he did for most of the legislation he got passed, because he knows in the Senate nothing much happens unless it's bipartisan. From the beginning, really, there are exceptions, but that's more the rule. On the child bill, the CHIP bill, he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to expand insurance coverage for children. He went to 9 Republicans in a row to try and find someone who he thought might be interested in working with him on this project. And, you know, he picked them out because he thought they'd had an interest in children or child health in the past. 9 of them turned them down. They thought it wasn't the right time to move ahead on something like that. Orrin Hatch, who was the 10th person he went to, said, you know, I'm interested in it. I'm not sure we can do it, but I'd be interested in at least considering it. And it was very interesting. Hatch had a meeting with his staff, which we learned about much later when we were writing the book, where he asked them what they thought about working with Kennedy on expanding insurance for children. And they were all very negative. Their response was, well, you know, if you do that, the leadership in the Senate is going to be really mad at you for doing another bill with Senator Kennedy. It's unpopular in Utah because Kennedy's very unpopular in Utah. It's bad for you to be paired with him. And he heard them out, and then he said, well, no, you don't understand what it's like to grow up as a poor kid without access to health care. Yeah. I want to do this, but I want to do it right. Help me to do it right. And what he meant by doing it right was he didn't want to do it the way Kennedy favored, which was an open-ended entitlement similar to the Medicaid program. Mm-hmm. Instead, he wanted something that was much more conservative, that relied more heavily on states, that was capped and not open-ended. And we were able to work out a bill along those lines.
Well, you know, and as you say, this is, you know, finding, you know, areas of agreement. And it took Senator Kennedy 10 senators to find Orrin Hatch, the Republican from Utah. And but that was his personality. That's what he did time and again. And you were able to be right there in the front row to observe, you know, his brilliance and his ability to bring, you know, disparate parties together.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that was important to his success, I mean, he had immense skills as a politician that he dealt with all the different ways of getting legislation through. But one thing that was a strength, and particularly in finding a bipartisan partner with it, he personally was a guy who really liked people, and he was very gregarious. He was very charming. And he really made an effort to establish friendships and friendly relations with as many members of the Senate as he could. And, you know, while probably most of the Republicans of the Senate disagreed with 99% of the things Senator Kennedy believed in, they all liked him, almost all of them liked him personally. And they trusted him as a guy who would keep his word and be a square shooter. And so when he went looking for somebody who shared a common interest, the friendship didn't make it happen. You know, people weren't going to be for something that they would otherwise oppose because they were friends with Senator Kennedy. But the friendship gave them a basis of trust on which they could try and work something out.
Exactly.
And you know, there's a funny line, you know, he used to say, Orrin Hatch was his great friend, even though they agreed or disagreed about 99% of the policy issues. But Kennedy used to joke that if he and Orrin co-sponsored a bill, it meant that one of them hadn't read it, you know, which of course wasn't true, but it was a good line. And
exactly. Well, certainly he played on the perception of what others would want to believe in terms of being able to put Orrin Hatch and Ted Kennedy together.
Yeah.
David, you know, two questions. You know, first of all, why this book at this time, number one, and number two, for young people, millennials who are, you know, coming into some understanding of Ted Kennedy, help them understand why he was the lion of the Senate.
Okay, well, let me start with the first question, which is why the book. The book really started, and Nick Littlefield originally wrote the draft of this book when he left the senator's staff in 1998, which was sort of at the end of the Gingrich Revolution. It sort of run its course and been defeated. And he originally started it really because he thought it was just an exciting narrative about how the Senate worked and really, in a, you know, kind of a tribute to Senator Kennedy. The book kind of hung around for a while. I joined the project about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we both felt a tremendous urgency to get the book written and get the book completed and get it out. Part of that was because Senator Kennedy had died, and we wanted and felt it was important for his legacy that what he, you know, what he stood for and what he did be known. But second, it was because we saw the extraordinary parallels between what was happening then and now, mm-hmm. as opposed to in what happened in 1994-95. You know, in both cases, you had a very ideological Republican Party determined to really change the face of American government in a way that Senator Kennedy felt it was very destructive. Mm-hmm. And you also had what seemed to be an inability to get anything done on a bipartisan basis. So we thought it was important to get that story out for those reasons as a kind of a blueprint for how Democrats and really citizens should respond to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what it says about Senator Kennedy, or what I'd like people to take away from it about Senator Kennedy, first of all, I think an appreciation of the kind of a guy he was and how committed he was and how skillful in working the political process and the very arcane world of the United States Senate. It all seems very remote from people, but it has a tremendous impact on people's lives. And I think it's important for young people to appreciate both what the kind of a man Senator Kennedy was, but even more how anyone, any member of Congress, any citizen, can really make a difference in the political process and, you know, the lives of the American people. I know that all of us who work for Senator Kennedy really felt privileged to work for him because we felt that we were, one of the main reasons was that we felt we were, you know, participating in something that was a cause that was larger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that because Senator Kennedy was such a skilled legislator and so committed, that the things we worked on weren't just striking attitudes or putting out talking points or, you know, stating positions, but things that could really become law and affect the lives of millions of people for the better.
Well, David, I really appreciate the work that went into this with you and Nick Littlefield. Nick, of course, was Senator Kennedy's chief of staff for the Senate Labor and Human Resources Committee from 1989 to 1998. You served as Senator Kennedy's senior health policy advisor and directed Kennedy's Senate Health Committee health staff from 1983 to 2005. A timely book, like you say, the parallels between 22 years difference. Here we are. We find ourselves one more time, and we'll see if the Democrats can give rise to a new lion of the Senate, because it is definitely needed on behalf of we the people to get our government back on track and get it moving again, don't you think?
I certainly do.
Well, David Nexon, appreciate all the effort that you and Nick put into this book, a historic gem that gives us some special insight. I mean, you guys were right there in the front row to watch the lion of the Senate operate when Ted Kennedy rallied the Democrats in a GOP Congress. David Nexon on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a pleasure to be.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $10,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-912-6177.
There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
Anytime.